You are listening to John Diard's Life Spa, your premier source for health news and Ayurveda, where modern science meets ancient wisdom.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John Diard. Welcome to the Life Spa podcast, where we prove the ancient medical wisdom of Ayurveda with modern science. And today, we have a really special guest. I've had Michael Mastro on before, talking about Vasu, or what's called Stapachaved, or what's called sort of the Ayurvedic version of feng shui, where how you align yourself really does matter. And today we're going to actually get into what's called medical Vasu, how, and I don't know much about this. I'm super curious to know what Michael knows here today about this. I think it's going to be really exciting. Michael is kind of a really world-renowned Vasu expert in the world of Ayurveda in America. He's kind of the leading expert. He's at all of the conferences, teaches at all the conferences in Ayurveda. He is a fellow of the American Vedic Astrology. He's a fellow of the American Vasu Consultant. He's a member of the International Institute of Predictive Astrology. He's also won numerous awards on Vasu. He's been doing this for kind of a long time. He's one of the really rare experts in this field. So we're super lucky and happy to have you on, Michael. Thanks for joining us. I thought maybe the best way to start, because we had you on and I invite everybody to watch our earlier podcast with Michael on Vasu. But Michael, maybe you can give us just a little intro and what Vasu is in a general sense, and then kind of whet their appetite for where we're going to go into medical Vasu.
So yes, Vasu means building. Shastra means science. It's the science of building. It's said to be 7 to 10,000 years old. And so Ayurveda, the aim of Ayurveda is to balance the five elements in your physical body, because if they're out of balance, there's some dis-ease or illness. And Vasu takes that a step further to balance the five elements in the body of your body, which is your environment, your house, your office. And Jyotish is also all about that as well. It's about looking at the five elements in regard to your time and your karma. Jyotish means light. It is the science of light. And so if Ayurveda is the science of life, and it takes into account the body, the mind, and the soul, Jyotish is also looking at the light of our soul and the effect of time and karma and all kinds of tendencies we have to certain kinds of illnesses. In ancient times, people would consult not just a doctor or an Ayurvedic doctor. They would consult a Vasu expert as well as a Jyotish astrologer to see about the timing of events in their life, when they might be prone to a certain illness, and how long that might be lasting, and what they could do to strengthen their system, strengthen the planets in their system, and strengthen their immune system to lessen whatever propensity that the planets were showing that they might have some kind of illness in the body. So it's such an interesting thing how these three sister sciences are intertwined and how it's good to look at all three to really get at the root cause and to find remedies that are supportive of healing the body. We are light beings living in, this world of light. The sun is bringing light and life to our life, and the moon is reflecting it, and we are a certain frequency, and all the different planets have a frequency, and all the different planets are related to different body parts and different systems and organs within the body. And when a planet, we go through a certain planetary period, we are more prone, if that planet happens to be weak or afflicted by another planet, to certain kinds of illnesses in the body. So it's so interesting. And the beautiful thing is you can see a person's chart in the type of residence that they select, whether it's an apartment or a house or, and when we go through different planetary phases, we tend to want to rearrange our furniture or get another apartment or move to another house. So the timing is all synced with our planets. So interesting how they're all connected.
You know, it's interesting. I always say that in Ayurveda, the more subtle something is, the more powerful it is. And this is maybe the best example of that. We're talking about Jyotish, which is Vedic astrology, the alignment of the planets having an influence on us. And those influences change over time. We're talking about Vastu, which is the energy of really the four directions, right? And how they have an influence on us. I mean, our ancestors knew that. They lived so close to the land that they were very attuned to, you know, the energy that would came from different directions and how to align themselves to prevent and to protect and maybe even to treat certain conditions, you know. And when you think about in Western medicine, the things that are the most subtle, that are the most powerful, for example, like the microbiome, like nobody even knew there was a microbiome, you know, 20 years ago. And now we know that, and you can't see them, right?
Right.
But they're controlling what you think and what you say and your mood. And even they can predict what career you would go into if you take the microbiome of a toddler or a young child. Also, circadian medicine, which is now Nobel Prize winning science, you know, you can't see those rhythms of nature, but our biological clocks align with the rhythms of nature, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about here, that exactly. Our biological clocks, according to Nobel Prize winning science, are aligning with the cycles and the rhythms, the light, dark cycles of nature. And if you disalign and you get out of whack with those rhythms, then it's one of the upstream causes of numerous concerns. So here we have a system of medicine that Ayurveda, Jyotish, Vastu, these all are trying to help bring that alignment back into balance, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly. You know, Vastu is living in harmony with nature, just as Ayurveda and Jyotish. It's kind of getting back to this whole thing about us being light beings and everything having a frequency and aligning, you know, the frequencies, when we're not aligned with the frequencies of the planets and nature, the sun and the moon and the stars and alignment to the forces of nature, which is the solar energy from the east and the magnetic energy from the north. When we're aligned with these, we get the support of nature. We get good health. And in Vastu, we want to be aligned with the directions, the longitudinal and latitudinal lines. And many, many cities where you can see if you go on Google Maps and you look at your house, the streets are running diagonal on your computer. And if they're aligned, they're running north, south, east, west, kind of perpendicular and parallel to your computer. So again, it's just like you say, we're aligning with all the forces of nature to get the support of nature and have good health.
It sounds really, when you say it like that, it sounds potentially very overwhelming. Like I have to align my life with the planets and, you know, and the energies from the sun and the east and there's a lot of planets out there and like, you know, it seems really complicated. And so I wonder if you could, without going into medical Vastu, which I want to go into next, just give us a little like, and there's also, I know there's some science behind this too, right? So maybe you could share some of the science that's been done to kind of show that this is actually a science that sort of backs up this ancient wisdom. And also give us some examples of how people can use this in their life pretty simply.
Yeah, for everything we talk about, there's a remedy. Remember, everything's made of energy. Everything has a frequency. And so if we can align ourselves with the frequency of a strong planet that happens to be weak at a certain time in our life, there are different remedies to strengthen that planet and strengthen our immune system at the same time. So there are very, very simple remedies. And it's really what it gets down to when you look at karma and the science of light Jyotish. It's all about light and darkness. We go through certain periods where a planet might become weak and it'll trigger some kind of health issue. And if we can strengthen that planet, and that's very easy to do through maybe some mantra, which is, again, a frequency. Every planet has a mantra. Every planet has a color. Every planet has certain lessons that are trying to teach us, and that's the darkness. When we have these certain challenges that come up, whether it's health or whether it's some financial issue or relationship issue or career issue, they're all tied together. You can look at any health issue and you can find an emotional basis to that, where, you know, we have this certain challenge or opportunity that the planets are giving us. And it's up to our consciousness whether we react or respond, whether we choose love or fear. And so that's, these lessons are keep coming our way. And part of them, those lessons are some kind of health challenge that can come up and how we deal with it. And so we say there is destiny, but there also is free will. And the free will is how we respond to the cards that were dealt with, the planetary stresses that come our way.
So you mentioned there are some studies that were done that have been done. Can you share those?
Yeah, so I've been doing Vedic medical astrology and Vastu and studying Ayurveda for many, many years. And I write down, like when I go to someone's house and I learn some kind of health issue that they have, and then I can see, oh, there's some imbalance, some dosha in the house that's relating to that body part and that medical issue that they're having. Then I look at their chart and I can exactly see the same thing, because the floor plan of your house matches your chart. I can see the planet that's associated with that. So I've listed all those over 50 years, and that's part of the studies. But there are also studies, I don't have them right off the top of my head right now, where they show different situations and different remedies people have used and how that has improved their situation over time.
Yeah, because I remember you citing some of those studies, some of the lectures that you gave. I think it was when people sleep in a certain direction, they have, you know, better cognitive function or something like that. Is that right?
Yes. So those are the study. Okay, those particular studies there was two studies in a hospital in India. They had 50 patients recovering from similar surgeries, and they divided them into two groups of 25, and 25 had their headboards to the north, and 25 had their headboards to the south. So they measured the REM state, the EEG, for a period of 3 days, and they found that the patients with their headboards to the north were not recovering as quickly as the patients with their headboards to the south. And the reason is positive magnetic energy comes from the north, and our body is a magnet. The positive polarity is in our head. So if we're sleeping with our headboard on a north wall, it's like bringing two positive ends of magnets together. They repel. It disturbs the blood flow, the circulation, the digestion, and over time, we're not able to throw off the stress that we need to and get restorative health. The studies show that the patients with their headboards to the south were having more REM cycles and longer REM cycles. So REM cycles are an indication of deep sleep, whereas the patients with their headboard to the north, less REM cycles, shorter REM cycles.
So this is positive up here and this is negative down here?
Yes.
And because this is positive, and if you have it towards the south, which is negative, then you're going to have a pulling in and a pulling effect, like a detoxing effect, right? Is that what you're saying?
So it causes a repulsion. So we have iron in our blood, and this is the positive, the top of the head. So it causes this repulsion, and it disturbs the blood flow, circulation, digestion, and over time, yeah, the stress is building up and not being released. Whereas if your headboard is on a south, west, or east wall, and there's that natural kind of magnetic flow that's helping you sleep more deeply, getting more rest, throwing off more stress while you're sleeping.
Cool. So the best is south or the best is east?
Well, east, south, or west are all okay. And now if you have a lot of health issues, the studies showed that sleeping to the south is the best because it completes that whole magnetic cycle. East is really good for younger kids. You know, it helps with the growth of the body and the mind, and spiritual knowledge is good also if your head is to the east. West is okay, but south is the best for health issues.
Wow. Okay. Well, good to know. I love that analogy of the and you have studies to back it up, which is obviously really, really cool. So that's sort of a good kind of entree into this medical vastu, where you can sort of, I don't know, tell me what you can do with the medical vastu.
So when we look at someone's chart, we can, there are three things we look at. We look at the strength of the planets and where they're placed in your chart and what kind of effect, how they're operating, whether they're, you know, each planet is associated with some part of the body. The sun has to do with our digestive system. It has to do with our cardiovascular system, the heart. It has to do with the immune system, which is linked to so many illnesses these days, including, you know, heart issues. So if the sun happens to be weak on some account, whether it's poorly placed, it's weak in degrees, it's, you know, afflicted by Rahu or K2, which are planetary nodes of the moon, all of those can create a situation where you're prone to certain kinds of illnesses, just like you know, you get these DNA studies and you can see, you know, what your ancestry, you know, there's this history of all those things in the ancestry that shows you're more prone to certain types of illnesses. But this can also be seen from your chart. Your birth chart can show all of those things. The moon has to do with also the heart and the lymph system and immune system as well. Mars has to do with your blood, your muscles, inflammation in the body. And Mercury has to do with your nervous system, your skin, your speech, your cognitive issues. I was watching that study that was done on all Alzheimer's last night, and they were talking about the brain and the cognitive issues that's related to Mercury. Jupiter has to do with your liver, gallbladder, hips, and it can be related to diabetes. Diabetes is a function of your digestion, whether you're able to convert the glucose and all that, and the liver, which is Jupiter, the pancreas, and Venus is also involved. Venus has to do with your sexual organs, your reproductive system, many things like that. And Saturn has to do with your skeletal structure, your bones, and your longevity. It's an indicator of longevity. And then Rahu and K2, those are the things that kind of create these situations where unexpected events can happen to the body. They are the triggers, oftentimes, when they come in contact with another planet very closely. But yeah, the distance of the sun and the moon, all of these create these different frequencies. And in the subtle channels of the body, we have these seeds of karma from past lives and from this life. And they get ignited when these planets come in close contact with each other, whether they're strong or weak. The goal is to strengthen all your planets so you're very well balanced and you're living in harmony with nature. And it can be very easily done by increasing your consciousness, the light of your consciousness, which means that you are doing certain things in your life without attachment. You're doing everything in service. You're not attached to the, you know, whether it's successful or a failure. And so that's kind of our free choice that comes in, you know, whether we are predestined to all these different kinds of illnesses or whether we are proactive, doing certain things in service, doing certain charity. Each planet is associated with some kind of service activity that you can do, like Saturn. Saturn is associated with the day of Saturday. And if you help poor people or you donate to some poor people, that charity, that helps to strengthen Saturn. Mercury has to do with our intellect and children. If you help children on Wednesdays, those are the types of things. And then there's mantras and there's gems and certain other kinds of activities that can be done to strengthen these planets.
Is there an application of medical vastu that that doesn't include Jyotish or Vedic astrology? In other words, like, you know, like you said, with a alignment of north, south, east, and west for how you sleep at night or how you align your, where you put your kitchen and those things we talked about in our first interview. Are there is an understanding of your body, like certain organs are in the north, certain are in the east, certain in the west, and that alignment where you can look
yeah,
at
I mean, that's
independently of Jyotish?
That's the what we talked about last time. That's basically Vastu. And so interlinked, the planets interlink all these different disciplines, these three sister sciences. So each direction in your house is associated with a different planet. And so you can see that the north, for example, the north zone of the house is associated with Mercury. And if there's some kind of dosha there, the north is associated with north, northeast, and east are associated with the water element and the kapha dosha. And so if there is a fire element there, like a stove, that's like fire reducing water and reducing that planet as well, the strength of that planet. So maybe, you know, Mercury has to do with skin issues or nervous system issues or intellect issues. So memory. So if that fire is reducing that water, and you can see this in your house or your office, that it may over time affect your memory, your nervous system, the skin issues. Jupiter is associated with the northeast, etc. You know, you have if Jupiter becomes weak, then it can affect your liver. Liver relates to all kinds of different issues as well. East is associated with the sun, the east part of your house. Again, digestion, heart, immune system. If it's blocked for some reason, if you have another unit, like you're in an apartment, there's no windows on the east side. So there's a way to using yantras to attract that missing or blocked energy. But over time, if there's no openings on the east side, that's going to definitely reduce the strength of that sun in your house and affect digestion and all those other things. So there, all the planets are there in the house. All the planets are there in the different organs and parts of the body in Jyotish. And then in Ayurveda, we link up all these different herbs that are associated with the planets as well. Each herb is, you know, for example, sun. You know, if we're not getting enough sunlight, then our D3, we have to increase the D3. You know, people get depressed and have all kinds of issues with a lack of D3, which can affect the immune system as well. And sun salutations would be an application of yoga to increase the power of the sun. So there's many, many in the Vedas, they give you, they don't just tell you what can go wrong, but they give you all the remedies that's needed to strengthen all these planets when they become weak. And you can see from the Vedic medical astrology, oh, there's a certain period of time here where your sun is getting reduced. So you need to take more rest. You need to really watch your diet. And if you take these remedial actions, then you maybe get a little bit ill, but you don't, you know, you get the flu instead of COVID, and it's very, very short lasting. So you have those remedies there to get you through those tough times. So it can tell you how long, the duration of how long the illness might last, and what to be a little proactive during that time period.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So could
I
you
have
say
one
like,
example. Somebody yeah. came to me, one of my clients, and their son had a brain tumor, and they wanted to operate right away. And I said, you always have to follow the doctor's orders. I'm not a doctor. But when I looked at the chart, you could see that the first house in his astrology chart is associated with the head. And you could see that Rahu was afflicting that house full strength at that period of time when they came to me to ask me this question. And I could see that within a week, that affliction would be separating and not causing that stress on the brain or that brain tumor. And I said, ask the doctor if you could wait a few days. And so they asked the doctor, and the doctor said, as long as the boy is in a hospital and we're observing and watching what's going on, we could wait a few days. And they did wait a few days, and the tumor started reducing after a few days. And I have many, many stories like this. It's quite amazing, even to me, after doing Jyotish all this time.
So did he get the surgery, or did they
have to get the surgery? It kept reducing, and they gave him some medicine and didn't have to get the surgery, which is the upshot of that.
Wow. So it sounds like ideally to really understand the relationship between Jyotish Ayurveda and Vastu, you kind of need someone like yourself to kind of look at their chart, their Vedic astrology chart, and then look at the Vastu, maybe even go into their house and evaluate all those things. And you do consultations. As a matter of fact, you're generous enough to offer, I think, a 20% discount on your consultations now. And that will be just for a short time. So if you're interested, we'll put your information on the screen. But if you're interested in getting a consultation, don't wait, because that 20% will only be once this podcast goes up, it'll be probably good for just a month. So just be aware of that. Is there anything that the regular listener who's listening to this, who may not have the funds or whatever to do the whole evaluation, you know, from a Vedic or from a medical Vastu point of view, are there things that they can take away? Like, you know, things that they can do that are very useful for them, for their medical condition. Like, I guess if you had like a, you know, a nagging low back pain, what's the Vastu of that?
So low back pain would have to do with the south part of your house, the south zone of your house, some imbalance there. So they could look to see, is there any clutter that might be creating stress in the south zone of the house? Also, it could be the southwest zone as well. So look to see, you know, is there a closet, a drawer, a garage that needs some straightening up, getting organized? And then beyond that, strengthening each of the different elements within the house, if we're looking at Vastu. So plants, anything to do with earth in the southwest part of the house could strengthen that earth element and improve the back issues. In Jyotish, it would be the Saturn and anything you can do to strengthen Saturn. Again, doing some kind of donation to poor people, charities, and things like that would help strengthen Saturn. So that's something anyone can do without any knowledge of Jyotish or Vastu.
Would it matter if, like, there's a bunch of junk stored in the south side of your property? Would that be a factor to put that cleaned up kind of thing?
Inside the house and outside the house, surrounding. Yeah, right. If you have a tool shed and it's just very disorganized in the south, or it's just someplace getting more organized. They always say, when you're removing clutter, to make three piles, one to save and put back in an organized fashion, one to throw away and one to give away, because your junk might be something useful to someone else.
Wow, this is really great. And I encourage people to get the full evaluation, get their chart done, everything. But at the same time, it's kind of like, it's kind of really interesting to folks who say, okay, well, I was just diagnosed with high cholesterol. Okay, that's my liver. And that's on the right side of my body. So that's the west. Is that the west?
Yes.
So that would be, I would then look to the west of my house and go, oh, it's a mess there, or whatever. Or outside, yes. I didn't mow the lawn in weeks or whatever on the west.
Yeah. Is that weeds how, piling up.
And that would work.
That would definitely be helpful. Anything you can do to strengthen those weak areas, that are associated with the planet. Saturn is associated with the West, exactly. And anything you can do to create more order, be in more in harmony with nature, always is, meditate. The interesting thing about the Alzheimer's, Sanjay Gupta gave that talk last night on CNN. It was meditation, yoga, breathing exercises, vegan diet. Now, not everybody can do that. Exercise, being in nature, going for walks in nature, all of those things reduced the Alzheimer's by 40%. This is something anybody can do, without any drugs or any, even using Ayurveda. Well, Ayurvedic lifestyle includes all those things, obviously. Same thing with Vastu lifestyle. But it's quite amazing how big an effect. And he studied these people, 5 years ago, they couldn't remember who they were or what they were doing. And they went, very strictly through this process of eating plant-based food and getting in the exercise and meditation. Meditation, very big part of Jyotish, Vastu, and Ayurveda as well, to reduce the stress. The key is reducing stress. And there's stress in your house, there's stress in your planetary chart from the planets at different times. When the five elements are out of balance in the body, there's stress in you, that can cause disease through Ayurveda.
Right. So it's a recap. We have north, south, right? And my left would be east and my right would be west, right?
Correct.
So if you have you could easily just say, for just get people to use this right away, they can go, I have a pain in this part of my body or this part of my body or this part of my body. You can just, and then you could just look at your body as a map for your home and align your head with the north and go, okay, if I'm having pain in this part, what's going on in that part of my house, right? That part of my yard. That's like a super simple application for this. And in a lot of ways, from the subtle, let the energy flow, balance the five elements perspective, it could actually open up some of the energy to let the body heal in that way, right?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful way to look at it. I mean, really, that's what Vastu is. Vastu is finding out where energy is getting stuck and finding a way to move it, whether it's through a yantra or clearing the clutter. And so, when you have some pain in the body, you go to someone who understands how energy flows in the body. You get a marma treatment, you get acupuncture. So Vastu is like acupuncture for your house, exactly.
So let's go take that concept a little further, if you would, just going to tolerate me for a sec. The north is what? Is air and, right?
Yeah,
is north winter? Is it what yeah, season?
Water.
What season
Most,
would
mostly water, combination of water and air, for sure.
So what season would the north be?
So the north, well, Mercury is Vata, Pitta, Kapha, so it's kind of all three. And the season, I would say mostly the Vata season. You know,
so winter, this would be kind of winter.
Yeah.
So let's say you have a cognitive problem. And so the winter, so that would mean in the winter time, during that time would be maybe an opportunity for you to, let's say, be in nature. You know, and I think maybe that's a big problem with us is we're never in nature anymore. And when are we really not in nature is in the wintertime, right? So we're all in the house, stuck in the house. We run from the car to the store, to the store, to the car. You know, we never really go outside. But what about, you know, we don't go hiking in the winter. What about going and hiking and snowshoeing or whatever in the winter, getting out? Would that have an effect on this energy flow coming in if you're out in that environment like that? Would that help?
Absolutely. And like you say, if we're inside, we're not getting the sunlight even that's there in the winter, even though it may be cloudy or stormy, there's still, you know, that light. And we are light beings and we have to be exposed to the light. So getting out in nature is always a good thing, whether it's cold or
so what we do know, taking this a little bit further, we do know is that in the wintertime, the sun is below the equator. And what we have, the light here is mostly infrared light. Infrared light is a penetrating light that penetrates the tissues, even your skull, and warms you from the inside. Do you ever wonder why cows can be out there in the freezing cold and not freeze to death? Because the infrared light is actually warming them from the inside out. And we have what's called an infrared light deficiency. This one study showed that the average American spends 90% of their life indoors, away from the infrared light. And now with the new LED lights, which don't have any infrared light at all, the old incandescents would burn you. Now these don't. They don't have that. We're not getting any of the infrared light. So that will only exacerbate, just like what you're saying, is the energy coming in from the north, which is really what in the winter, when we get that massive kind of uninterrupted dose of infrared light, which is a pretty cool thing to know that I really got to get outside in the winter, whether you can bundled up, whatever, the infrared will go right through your clothes, try to wear natural clothing, not synthetic, so the lights and frequencies can get through, they absorb that light, that kind of thing. Okay, so that's the north. Let's do the south. What do we have in the south? We have, you know, intestinal constipation, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, Mars. It has to do with inflammation in the body.
So what season
blood,
is that?
Your blood and muscles, huh? Say it again.
What season is that?
That would be the height of the summer season.
Yeah, right. So that would make sense too. So that would have to do with...
Pitta is high. And so if you're living in a really, you know, hot climate, it's going to aggravate the pitta. So doing anything that's cooling yoga, breathing exercises, getting in water, obviously would be cooling, all those kinds of things. Drinking
particularly
more water.
If your body type is pitta, you're going to be more vulnerable to those inflammatory flame imbalances. There was an interesting study, Michael, that was done with the hunter-gatherer tribes, both the Tissimi in Bolivia and the Hadza and the Assans Bushmen. And they found, and they put light meters on them, and they watched when they got the most light of the day. And they found that they were actually in the sun from sunrise all the way till around midday. And then they were gone. They were in a cave that they didn't get any light at that point in time. Where we Westerners, we wait till the sun gets strong, then we go lie in it, you know, and try to get a suntan or whatever. Which, you know, from a traditional perspective, they had a level of intelligence to know how to be aligned with nature. Otherwise those tribes wouldn't have survived living with no modern conveniences, right? So just like you said, understanding that if that is a problem that you have, which is too much heat in your body, and that's affecting your elimination, which can give you looser stools, things like that, then you may want to really make sure you cool down your pitta by not going out in the sun or going for a run in the middle of the day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and sweating and being out there huffing and puffing and those kind of things. These, you know, logical, simple things, but being outside at the right time of the year, because studies also show that the bugs in the air, there's microbes in the air, change, not in the cities, but in the woods, in the forests, they change from season to season to season. So all the animals are breathing a different, you know, inoculation of bugs for that season to give them the benefit of that, to protect them from that season. The bugs in the winter will boost immunity. The bugs in the summer will dissipate heat. The bugs in the spring will help decongest you. And they change from one season to the next. And if you just go for a walk in the woods on a regular basis all year long, you're going to inoculate by breathing that in, and you make those subtle changes. And so obviously getting that detailed analysis of your Jyotish chart and what your weaknesses and your strengths are and how that can affect your health and you can prevent, and understanding how you can tweak your home and all that to really help make everything align, like it's, you know, it's like it's
being in harmony with nature.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. But these are some simple things, logical things that people can do. You know what I mean?
In Vastu, interesting what you were just talking about. So these ancient seers who studied or wrote down all, you know, how the environment affected us and how this planets and stars and affected us, and they were designing the Vastu house to have more openings in the north and the east and less openings in the south and the west, because the south was that directly overhead, the infrared rays were damaging to the cellular structure. And then when the sun sets in the west, you have the gamma rays, which are also kind of damaging. But the ultraviolet rays in the north and the east were life supporting, helped the growth of the cellular structure. So they understood all those things that you were just talking about, how the different seasons and how the different qualities of rays of light from the sun were affecting the physiology. And so the house design was also based on the functions, you know, the circadian rhythms and the different times of the day, whether it's Vata, Pitta, Kapha, the different activities. So you, in the north and in the east, that's where you pray, you wake up and you meditate, and that's where the prayer room was, because that's the ultraviolet rays. And the spiritual consciousness could be raised at that time. And then you would eat breakfast in the kitchen in the southeast part of the house. And then you would rest and sleep in the southwest part of the house, etc. And it's all based on what you were just talking about, the different circadian rhythms, the different dosha times of the day and all those things.
I mean, it's definitely worth learning and studying everybody's grasping the idea, this is logic. This isn't, you know, rocket science. You know, the north is kind of colder. It has more wind, more movement. The part of us that has a lot more movement is our nervous system, and that's moving super fast. And therefore, if you aggravate that wind, you're going to aggravate your nervous system. The sun is hot. Too much heat can inflame you, right? Those yes. kind of things, right? So understanding how that aligns with the different regions of your body and how you can hope you create an environment in your house is amazing. Now, you said something that was really interesting. You said in the sunset, there's more gamma rays. And I wondered if you have any radar on the difference between the sunrise energy and the sunset energy. Is there something more you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the sunrise is the ultraviolet and the sunset is the gamma. So the sunrise is, that's where all the awakening of creation, they call it Napashwan. It's really like just before dawn, when your meditation can be the most powerful. And when you wake up, you feel refreshed and, you know, you can think more clearly. And then as the sun is getting more intense and it sets in the west, it's natural time to rest. You after sundown, then you want to rest the body. You want to sleep in the night. And it's, again, Jyotish, darkness and light. It's the study of how you know, you have to, there has to be a certain amount of darkness for the seed to sprout, a certain amount of light for the seed to sprout, a certain amount of water, a certain amount of warmth from the sun. You know, all the five elements are in play: earth, water, fire, air, and space, for everything to grow, evolve, expand, and open our hearts and learn to serve and help other people. That's why we're here. That's what the planets are trying to teach us with all these different lessons.
That's absolutely beautiful. You know, the sunrise and the sunset always fascinated me, because, you know, the sunrise, we're shutting melatonin down so you can have activity for the day. But the sunrise looks, for most folks, looks pretty much the same as the sunset. Yet that's the time when we're actually activating melatonin, and it doesn't make any sense, right? So I kind of dug into the research on that. I was so fascinated by that. And it turned out that if, as long as the sun shadow, the shadow that the sun makes in your arm, you stand up, is actually longer than you are tall, which means the sun is low in the sky, you have mostly red and infrared light in the morning hours. But after that sun gets shorter, that's when the UV radiation kicks in. And you're right about the fact that there's more UV radiation, because the sun rise normally, under normal situations, is very still. And there's no dust. The morning is the calm. You go to the lake in the morning, it's crystal clear, calm, not a ripple. But the UV radiation throughout the day that builds up as the sun goes to the midday, that creates evaporation, that creates wind. That wind creates the afternoon vata time of day between 2 and 6. That wind creates dust. And the studies show, I was fascinated by this, studies show that the wind that creates the dust actually blocks the radiation from the sun, and actually blocks the blue light from actually penetrating, and actually creates a buffer so the melatonin can actually rise. So you have more blue light in the morning, because there's, you know, and that stays and kind of blocks the melatonin, because it's all about the wind that's created by the UV radiation, which creates the vata time of day, which creates this beautiful sunset. But it's actually mostly red and infrared light at that point in time, which doesn't block melatonin, and it blocks the blue light, because the dust literally blocks the blue light. I thought it was super fascinating to understand that. And I thought I'd share that with you, because that kind of plugs into what you're thinking about all the time, is how all these subtle things have an impact, you know, and how it all makes beautiful sense. I didn't know anything about the gamma radiation. I'm going to look into that at sunrise, at sunset as well. That's fascinating. So I'll look into that. Is there anything else you can share with us about medical Vastu, or any other tips people can grab from you before we go?
Yeah, I just think that it's very good for everyone to have a little bit of understanding about Ayurveda, the science of life, and a little bit about your environment through the Vastu, and definitely learn. Your chart is like the yantra of your life. You know, a yantra is a physical representation of a mantra or a sound. And so if you know, if you see your birth chart and understand how the planets are operating in your life, it's not a deep dive. It's just understand, my Jupiter's a little bit weak. That makes me susceptible to kind of being outside the bounds of society norms and things like that. Or my Mars is a little bit weak. That makes me agitated easily. Once you understand how those planets are operating in your life, it's like your consciousness can expand and jump, and you start to respond more instead of reacting to certain situations. And that's where, you know, you can change your destiny, actually, by strengthening those planets that are weak in your chart. It's very fascinating. I encourage everybody to get a reading, and it doesn't have to be too deep or hard to understand. Just to understand how those planets are operating and what parts of the body they're associated in, and how you can change things just by understanding how those planets are operating and when they're operating.
you said something that was amazing right there, that you're, when you have a Vedic astrology, when you're born, the alignment of the planets has a frequency and a vibration. And that's your fingerprint, your blueprint.
You're unique, yes.
Could you actually create, and a yantra, if you've ever seen yantras like a Sri yantra, they're just beautiful designs of little triangles,
yes,
upon little more, little smaller triangles. It's this amazing kind of kaleidoscope of which could be you. Is there a way that you could actually create a yantra that's specific to your birth time? And is that something that could be done?
That's what your chart is. It okay. is the yantra of your life. Yeah. And again, everything is energy. Everything is a certain frequency. And Einstein had this beautiful quote. He said, everything is energy. And if you have, and everything has a frequency. And if you can match the frequency of what you want in your life, like a healthy body or a strong planet, then that's what you'll get. You can't, it's science, it's physics, it's not anything you have to believe in. So that's why we, you know, the power of attraction and the law of attraction, you know, you, if you feel you're lacking for some reason, that's what you attract. And if right. you feel you're abundant and, you know, that you're blessed to be on this planet and you are grateful, that's what you attract. So when you, you know, you see these planets as strong and not weak, that's what you start to attract. And so there are yantras for each planet. There are mantras for each planet. And your birth chart is the yantra of your life. When you're, like you said, when you're born, all the planets or stars are arranged in a certain way in the sky. And Jyotish is light. We are light beings. And the light gives us the gifts, what we came here to help do, to help other people, whatever our gifts are. And the darkness are our lessons, whatever lessons we need to learn to grow and evolve and open our hearts and help other people. So it's so powerful, this science.
Well, Michael, thank you. Tell us how folks can get a hold of you.
Yeah, so the website is vastucreations.com. And I think, John, you're going to put up there, Freedom 20 would be give you a discount if you wanted to get a Vastu consult or a Vedic medical astrology consult or just even an astrological consult. So it's all available there. And I think I gave your assistant the links to get into that. And I'll extend, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but I'll try to extend it so that everybody has an opportunity to take advantage of it. But a lot of knowledge in the website as well.
That's very generous of you, Michael. Thank you so much. Keep doing your work. I really feel like you're the one who is really bringing this to the Ayurveda community for sure. And hopefully more and more of the world will understand that the subtle is the most powerful, and Ayurveda, Jyotish, Vastu, they are the sciences of the subtle. And they actually do have science now to that are actually backing up the fact that these are actually real interpretations of what nature is really all about. So I want to thank you again for coming, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much, John. You always blow my mind. You always look at things from a different perspective, and you help me expand my understanding of these sacred sciences. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
Bye-bye.
This recording is brought to you by Life Spa, where ancient Ayurvedic wisdom meets modern science. Get access to free health video newsletters by Dr. John at lifespa.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.